This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Europe, a headline from Reuters. EU industry chief issues China warning ahead of Schulz's Beijing visit. Herr Schulz is Chancellor of Germany, leading a coalition. And in Paris, this comment from Thierry Breton. The European Union's industry chief said that European governments and companies must realize China is a rival to the EU, and they should not be naive whenever they approve Chinese investment. This on anticipating the visit of Herr Schulz to China for business contacts and diplomacy. I welcome Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment. She is the editor of Strategic Europe, writing about Germany and China in anticipation of this visit. There are many other voices, but now the EU has weighed in. Judy, a very good day to you. How do we characterize the European Union's qualification here? What is the interest of the European Union in some fashion to warn Germany? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, John. Thanks for having me on your great show as always. Well, what is the EU? We have the EU Commission, which is the executive. We have the EU member states, and we have actually the various commissioners. And one of them is Thierry Breton. And the thing is that the EU does want a common position on China. They have endless number of strategic papers. They realize it's now a competitor to the EU. But on the other hand, the member states still go their own way for real politics, for vested interests, for national interests. So it's a bit rich of this French-born commissioner criticizing Schulz for going to China when France has its own interests in China. And then when little Lithuania, a Baltic state, actually stood out on its own and decided to upgrade the office with Taiwan, which of the big EU member states supported Lithuania? So solidarity is certainly not the number one priority at the moment inside the EU.
I see. It's convenient to be solid when it suits your purposes. But we go to Germany, too. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock, this is a story we have here in America today in Politico, demanding a more assertive, quote, new China strategy, piling pressure on Chancellor Olaf Scholz ahead of his visit to Beijing. Annalena Baerbock is very strong within the coalition representing the Greens. Also, she is foreign minister. So does this suggest that the dispute is not only at the European Union, but also in the German government?
It's been in the German government for months and months, actually, and it's been among inside German industry. A couple of years ago, the very influential Federation of German Industry issued a paper warning about the influence of China and how Germany and Europe could become even more dependent on China. I mean, Germany is terribly dependent on China at the moment. So we have splits in the coalition, but at the end of the day, the chancellor actually calls the shots. And Annalena Baerbock, the foreign minister, cares about these issues, and her economics ministry, which is green as well, is looking desperately to diverse the economy and exports away from China, for instance, in Latin America. But somehow, Chancellor Scholz has gone his own way.
You have written of this in anticipation of this visit. It's a very big story. And you point to the fact that Germany has looked to China for profit, not because of shared values. Is that changing, Judy, following the 20th Party Congress?
It's not going to change under this chancellor. This chancellor, remember, he was finance minister under the former chancellor, Angela Merkel. And how many times did she visit China? At least 12 times, 13 times, with huge economic delegations and industry delegations. It's not going to change. And we have seen that Olaf Scholz, he was the former head of the party and mayor in Hamburg. And now he's gone ahead and giving 25% stake in one of the big container terminals in Hamburg, one of the world's leading ports, to China, despite the opposition. Five ministries in Germany opposed this, and yet they didn't push hard enough to stop this. Yes. Bottom line, Germany is not going to reduce its dependence on China, and we're going to be in the same boat as we have been when Germany was economically dependent on Russia for its energy.
All right, it's irony time. Ostpolitik led Germany to the present quandary of inadequate energy resources because of over-reliance on Moscow. Is this the proposed new Ostpolitik, to rely upon China for profit and also for manufacturing, linking Germany to another unsavory and unpredictable regime?
The German small and medium-sized companies, collectively known as the Mittelstand, are very, very worried of what's happening in China, because China is upgrading its economy. It's upgrading its industry. It doesn't want to be doing textiles and sending socks back to Europe. They want to compete on a very, very high level now. And so this actually is very worrying to the Germans. They won't need, German industry down the road won't need to export to China. China will be able to manufacture its own stuff. No thanks to by the theft of intellectual property rights. This is the first thing. Secondly, German industry has to change because globalization has changed. Deindustrialization is going to happen eventually in Germany, but it's not taking this seriously.
We come then to the warning that you evidence in your article. On October 17th, three significant voices for security in Germany spoke up at the parliamentary hearing. This is the President of the Federal Intelligence Service, BND, the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, BFV, and the Military Counterintelligence Service, MAD. Surprisingly, they all spoke with one voice, that China is a security threat in cyber and other fashion. Now, that would hesitate any leader of a country that depends on the will of the people, you know, the permission of the people. Do the German people ignore these warnings from their distinguished officers of security?
These reports got very little play. They got play in the established sort of intellectual newspapers, but they didn't get the play that perhaps they should have deserved. And of course, Chancellor Scholz didn't want to advertise this. The foreign ministry did a little, but there is an increasing awareness among the public, depends on what they read, that China is a serious threat. But you must remember, John, that Russia is a serious threat and what it's doing to Ukraine. Yet there are states in eastern Germany that actually demonstrate now against the high energy prices, blaming the war in Ukraine, blaming the fact that Germany won't negotiate with Russia, and not at all blaming Russia. So the whole debate is quite complicated and quite skewed. But at the end of the day, what we are going to see is a Germany moving towards renewable energy rapidly, electrical cars and everything else, and increasingly dependent on rare earth material from China.
Right.
And this is the most dangerous element of dependence that's going to happen. And China will be able to set the prices, set the terms, and actually set the dependency levels.
You're reporting very carefully. China is the major trading partner with Germany, I believe, with 246 billion euros in 21. There's no reason to believe that that will in any way diminish going forward. The struggle here is intellectual property. The chemical factories of German chemical factories in Xiangyang, BASF in China, other car manufacturing. It can't be okay for those organizations to have their secrets stolen by the Chinese. Do they comment, Judy?
They don't really comment. What they are interested in is this huge, huge captive market. And a rising and increasing middle class, despite all the bumps with economic growth and post-COVID. But what they don't realize is that dealing with an increasingly authoritarian regime carries enormous risks. Because at the end of the day, authoritarian regimes breed their own kind of instability. Right. There's a feeling among the German elite that if the country is strong and the leader is strong, then it is stable. What they don't follow through, as we are seeing in Russia now, that this kind of stability does breed instability, and this is really going to cost them in terms of investment, and it's going to cost them in terms of their short-sightedness that they won't look across to the other side of the globe, to Latin America.
One more detail about China. It is linked, and it's a mysterious link, but it's there, with Russia. Is that an issue? that China is supporting Russia's aggression, which Germany opposes.
It's an issue. It'd be very nice if Chancellor Scholz didn't go to China with this kind of so-called alliance between Beijing and Moscow on this. But he's doing this, and frankly, he won't be able to wield any kind of influence at all when it comes to China's support for Russia. Why? Because this is the new constellation of world geostrategic politics. Russia and China, and indeed in some respects India, are testing the resolve of the West, what's left of it, if we can regroup and come up with a united policy on how to cooperate, but how to actually be strong if we want to cooperate. And this actually is not yet coming through. And Germany is lagging behind on this and playing no major role in setting the agenda for the West.
It's a puzzle, Judy, only because you observe that the leaders in the security business, I ran off their presidents before, all warned that Putin was violent, a violent person. They warned and warned and warned. And eventually it was vindicated by the attack on Ukraine. They're warning and warning and warning that China is a bad actor, aggressive and a thief. And they're being ignored again? Are we sure? It's flabbergasting.
It's flabbergasting, it's puzzling, and it's dangerous. Because at the end of the day, we're going to be beholden to this new power unless we're actually willing to defend what we really stand up for, principles and values. I'm not being starry-eyed about this. There's always interests, but perhaps you can balance interests with values and principles. And we have to do this. And we have to do this not just only defending our own democracy and our way of life. It's a signal for those who want the universality of human rights and civil rights outside Europe, whether it's in parts of Latin America or in Africa or Asia, other countries, they are looking to the West to give the kind of signal that they will support this democracy. And at the moment, the West is delivering very poorly indeed to these aspirants who actually want a better life.
We turn to questions of Europe and the United States next. Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Carnegie Strategic Europe. And the question to be answered from Judy's distinguished list of colleagues, is European support for Ukraine dependent on the United States? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.